Chapter 17. Break Lights. Chapter 17 briefly shifts the story away from Peter, Thomas, and Theo, and returns to the mainland, where Thomas's mother Julie is driving to her sister's house the morning following the storm. The road itself becomes a picture of her inner condition. Traffic is backed up, lights are out, routes are blocked, and every delay feels like another obstacle standing between her and the answers she desperately wants. Julie is not simply frustrated by traffic. She is exhausted from a long night of fear, uncertainty, and what she perceives as unanswered prayers. She doesn't know where her son and nephew are, or if they even survived the storm. The available facts are few, but the imagined possibilities that quickly fill the gaps are terrifying. These worrisome possibilities produce deep, uncomfortable emotions in her, and we see Julie employ a common response to such discomfort: anger. She uses her anger as a shield to protect herself from what seems to be a hopeless situation. Rather than surrendering to the grief that is pressing in around her, she takes an aggressive posture. Although this may cause Julie to feel like she has more control over the situation, or less likely to be overwhelmed by her more vulnerable emotions, we know that this is simply not the case. Her situation hasn't changed simply because she's angry, she's just added her anger to it. This chapter continues the larger theme that people do not respond merely to circumstances, but to what they believe those circumstances mean. Julie's grief, anger, and desperation are not random. They arise from the conclusions she is drawing in the absence of information. The road closures and brake lights are real, but they become more than traffic in her mind. They begin to feel like evidence that God is delaying her, blocking her, or refusing to help. As Julie looks at the empty booster seats of her other children in her rearview mirror, her fear becomes personal and immediate. Thomas is not only a missing son, he is a brother whose younger siblings still need him. At that moment, Julie cries out to God, asking, "Why are you doing this to us?" Her question reveals more than pain. It reveals the beliefs she holds beneath her distress. Because she cannot see God's purpose, she assumes that he is allowing or even directing the suffering against her family. Her response and reaction expose what she believes in her heart about God and his involvement in her life. No one would judge Julie harshly for her response. Most of us, especially parents, would likely react in much the same way if someone we loved were missing and we had no answers. Her fear, grief, and desperation are completely relatable. Yet the fact that her response is understandable does not mean that the conclusions producing it are true. The scriptures are clear concerning God's faithfulness, his presence, and his purposes for his children. When panic, worry, and fear begin to dominate our thinking, we can be sure that we've assigned meaning to our circumstances that disagrees with God's point of view. The scriptures call us to fear not, Isaiah 4:1-10, to be anxious for nothing, Philippians 4:6-7, and to not worry about tomorrow, Matthew 6:34. But when we discover fear, anxiety, or worry within us, the answer is not to suppress those emotions or pretend they are not there. Rather, we should humbly admit the beliefs that produce such feelings. Jesus expressed this same principle when he told his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." He did not merely command them to stop being troubled. He immediately pointed them to the remedy, "Believe in God, believe also in me." John 14:1. The answer to a troubled heart is not the suppression of fear, but the persuasion of truth. As our hearts become settled in what God has said, the conclusions producing our fear begin to give way to his perspective. Julie cannot see the island where Peter and Thomas are alive and well, nor view Theo carrying them safely along the shore. She cannot see anything beyond the traffic, the grief, and her own unanswered questions. Yet as the reader, you know that her limited perspective is not the whole story. The brake lights suddenly pull Julie's attention back to the present moment. Her demand for explanation gives way to a simpler and more honest prayer. She is no longer asking God to explain himself. She is asking him to save the boys. This chapter does not resolve Julie's fear, nor does it answer her questions. Instead, it exposes how quickly limited information can become the soil in which fearful conclusions take root and grow. Julie's interpretation of God, her circumstances, and the future is shaped more by what seems true to her than by what is actually true. The central issue is not merely what is happening, but how Julie is interpreting what is happening through beliefs that were already established in her heart. She is not creating new beliefs in response to the crisis. Instead, her responses and reactions simply reveal those previously established beliefs. Surface Reflections. What part of the story captured your attention or interested you the most? What concept, question, or insight stood out most to you in this chapter? Which character's perspective or response did you find most relatable? What concept or insight seemed the most challenging for you? Plunging deeper. Number one, Julie interpreted every delay, roadblock, and obstacle through the lens of what she believed about God and his involvement in her life. If you had asked her if God was in control, had a perfect plan, and was mindful of her situation, she undoubtedly would have affirmed these truths. Yet her responses and reactions revealed something different. Can you identify a time when your responses to a difficult situation revealed something other than trust in God? What belief was shaping the way you interpreted your circumstances? Number two, Julie cried, "If you have a plan in all this, I don't see it." Can you identify a time when your inability to understand what God was doing revealed what you believed about him? Looking back, what did you later discover that you could not see at the time? Number three, we see Julie respond to the situation with anger and frustration, even though being angry obviously won't help her find the boys. Have you ever found yourself reacting to unanswered questions or a confusing situation with anger? Why do you think you responded in this way? Did it seem like being angry helped you accomplish something in the moment? Number four, when obstacles, delays, or unanswered prayers stand between you and what you desperately want, how does this impact your view of God? How might those conclusions reveal more about the beliefs you bring into the situation than about what God is actually doing? Number five, what might change if, instead of asking God to rescue you from your circumstances, you identified the beliefs that were behind your fearful response and reaction to the situation, and then asked God to grant you his heavenly perspective? Island Insights. Julie's fear was real. Her son was missing, the storm had passed, the roads were blocked, and no one could give her the answer she wanted most. But her pain was the result of a perspective that could not see the whole story. No one would bring judgment about how she responded, because most of us would have responded in like fashion. However, none of this changes the fact that our actions and reactions to a life crisis are based upon what we believe, not necessarily what is true. The scriptures are clear about God's faithfulness, his presence, the purposes and plans he has for each of his children. So all our panic, worries and fears are based upon our own limited view, not his heavenly perspective. The reader knows what Julie does not know. Peter and Thomas are alive. They have been preserved through the storm and are being carried into a larger purpose that Julie cannot yet imagine. Her inability to see this does not make it any less true. This contrast reminds us that our limited perspective can feel complete even when it is missing the most important information. When we cannot see what God is doing, fear often rushes in to explain the silence. Delays become accusations, obstacles become evidence, unanswered questions become conclusions, and our angry outbursts seem to be the only appropriate response. Yet, God's faithfulness is not measured by what we can presently see. He is not limited by our awareness, our understanding, or our ability to recognize his hand in the moment. A heavenly perspective invites us to hold our interpretations humbly. We may not know why something is happening, how it will end, or what God is doing in the midst of it, but we can bring him our fear honestly without accusing him falsely. We can ask for help, mercy, and hope while refusing to let the gaps in our understanding become the foundation for what we believe about him.